Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Shambro. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Okay, we're going to get right into it today, September 11th, 2013, a mark on our calendar as a Memorial Day, special day of a change in the country, and I think we're having another change now. I think our country is in a different mindset, shifting, and maybe you can all feel that. Welcome to Dr. Christina Shambro, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine and holistic practitioner, widely known teacher, instructor, a caretaker. She is into energy medicine and helping everybody to find ways to heal their pets and the dynamics within the family. Today, what our topic is, answering questions about vaccinations, I think, and whatever else that comes up for folks in the chat. If you have a question, you can type it right in there on the chat or call us at 347-945-6956 or via clicking that little blue chat button, the Skype button on the website. Welcome.
Well, good morning. Absolutely, we want to, spend a moment honoring the spirits of the people and the animals who transitioned around the time of 9/11. A lot of the animal communicators at the time said that there was a large number of animals who chose to die, some of them young, some of them old, some of them already ready to transition, some of them not, in order to help the people transition. And I wonder sometimes if when one of our animals dies unexpectedly, if maybe they're not helping somebody because, you know, around 20,000 people die every day from hunger on our planet, not to speak of natural disasters. So 9/11 was one day, and every day that's happening, year after year, and it's getting better. When I first started working with the Hunger Project, it was 32,000 people dying every day, and then 24,000, so it's steadily been decreasing, which is wonderful. But it's always time to honor who's passed, so thanks for remembering to do that, Debbie.
Is that thehungerproject.com? What would be the website for that?
Actually, THP.org, the initial.
THP.org, okay.
.org. Yep.
Okay, well, that's a good
I think they're one of the organizations who's made the biggest difference in the entire Ending Hunger community because mm-hmm. they're very much about empowering women and have been for 20 years and really looking at what's needed now to end hunger.
I have a question, and this is just technical mm-hmm. for the show today. I feel as if I'm hearing SOS sounds in the background. Are you hearing that?
Yep. Actually, I have some, not SOS, but there is classical music. I didn't think it could be heard. Hang on a sec.
Okay. So, no matter where you are, if you're listening and calling into any kind of show, it's a good idea to turn the sound off on
your... Is it gone now?
No, I wait a minute. Is it gone now? Yeah, keep talking.
Because I don't hear anything at this point. I mean, I didn't hear anything at the beginning. Is it an echo?
Yeah, every single time you talk. Are you on a cell phone?
Nope, I'm on my regular phone that I always
use.
Shall I just call back in?
Why don't you do that? I'll talk to the guests and listeners.
Is there a better number? Is there a better number for me to call so I don't press one, or is that the 347?
Yeah, 347-945-6956. Or if you're on Skype,
I'm on regular.
Okay,
I'll call right back.
Any guests who want to call in and say hello, give us a wave, give us a thought for the day. That sound has gone away since she dropped off the call. And sometimes we have a little bit of static on the line. Today we are going to be talking about this issue of pet health and specifically questions that people have about giving remedies for vaccinations and when you have a pet who has a reaction to a vaccine, what are you supposed to do? What are the signs and symptoms to look for? And are there homeopathic remedies that will help you with that kind of thing? So, yes, we do have remedies just for vaccine adverse effects for humans, for children, and there are even special programs, which I am, let me see that she's on the line. I'm just mentioning today that there are, that's a better sound, I think, that there are programs for taking care of kids who have adverse effects to vaccinations, and I don't know whether they have similar things going on, whether research projects or studies for pets to kind of alleviate those symptoms for the duration of a pet's life.
When you say there are programs for children, what are you referring to?
Like Kate Birch and Cilla Watcott have the HP program, homeopathic prophylaxis, and Isaac Golden also has this kind of a program. And that is actually preventative, so that you're giving a series of remedies over like 3 years. Once a month you give a remedy to a child, and this is actually right now collecting a database of information and going through, they're going to be going through the American College of Homeopathy and getting officially recognized with the government agencies that this is going to be a real project that will prove and show through the collection of data that these kids who do the homeoprophylaxis, their immune system is much stronger, and these kids are healthier. They have less asthma, they have less eczema, they have less other kinds of catch colds and flus less often. And this is a data collection over, it's going to be over decades. Isaac Golden has already collected over a decade of work. So I don't know whether that's going on in the animal community as well.
Well, two comments. One is I'm always very suspicious in homeopathy when we're going to give these remedies once a month for the next 5 years.
Yep.
That, to me, doesn't allow for the individualization that is unique for homeopathy, and it can lead to problems. However, I'm very open to seeing the results of things like that. Sometimes I know, like my husband, who's an internal medicine doctor, says that autistic children, or ADD children, they had these long-term studies showing that if you took chemicals out of their food, they were significantly better. But then someone came along and took children who had had chemicals taken out of their food and were better, and half of them were continued on the no chemical foods, and half of them were given cookies that had all the chemicals that most people are eating every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no worsening of their symptoms. So they said it was probably more the extra attention that was paid to the children,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, multiple other possible reasons for it. So I'd be very interested. I will look up that study, and I'm very interested in seeing what happens with it. There's been there has been a lot of talk on the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy listserv very recently, which I actually hadn't been following, but I looked it up today and read some of it anyway. There's been a whole conversation about tautodes.
What? Oh,
T-A-U. Yeah, homeopathic Tautodes, T-A-U-T-O-D-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And Tautodes are like an isopathic remedy. And I'm not actually even sure the specific difference, but they are made from, often Tautodes are made, is a homeopathic remedy made from a vaccine or made from a drug. And
mm-hmm.
then administered to a person who's had a negative response to those. Now, a lot of people in the homeopathic...
I'm sorry. My computer went a little bit crazy here with sound. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tautodes.
There are a lot of people in the homeopathic community who believe in regularly giving something to animals or children, more commonly with animals, but people are doing it with children also after a vaccine. The question is, what homeopathic remedy would you give? Do you give Thuja? Do you give Hypericum? Do you give Ledum? Do you give Apis? There's rationales for each one of those. And the problem is each one of those has a complete materia medica, and we know what it does, and it works at a deep level that can actually create symptoms. And it can
mm-hmm.
also, by doing that, you can have the assumption that, oh, this has fixed the problem, and yet it may not have. My approach has always been to give no not always, but in the last 15 years, I evolved to where I give no homeopathic remedies before or after a vaccination unless I have an animal who has had specific reactions in the past to the rabies vaccine and it fits one of the rabies vaccine remedies and or I know the constitutional, then I will pre-treat and post-treat. But I won't give... I don't give Thuja to every animal or Hypericum to every animal because I would rather use Reiki, flower essences, and watch for what symptoms occur and then treat with the appropriate similimum for that animal. So I prefer the individual treatment. However,
mm-hmm.
In this discussion about Tautodes, a person I respect a lot, Don Hamilton, you know, on this show, I frequently recommend people read at least chapter 2 and 3 of his book, Homeopathic Care of Cats and Dogs, because he talks about the nature of illness and the nature of cure.
Can you spell his name for us, Dr.?
Uh-huh. Don, D-O-N, Hamilton,
H-A-M-I-L-T-O-N,
okay. Homeopathic Care of Cats and Dogs.
Okay.
And he... So he also has a great chapter in there on vaccinations. So
mm-hmm.
those are, and he goes into the history of human vaccines and has the graphs that show that smallpox was already decreasing, polio was already decreasing before the vaccines came in.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has been using he basically uses no vaccines with his clients if at all possible. But for those of his clients who choose to stay legal with the rabies vaccine or need other vaccines for certain reasons, they're traveling to another country, something like that, he has been using Tautodes. And
mm-hmm.
He has used Tautodes when there's a reaction. I think, so he says here, in 20-plus years, let's see, I use Tautodes with animals who are ill as a consequence of rabies vaccination. In 20 years, listen almost never helped those cases, whereas the Tautode of the vaccine helped in most cases, not all, and maybe it wasn't caused by the vaccine. Now, my computer sort of stopped working on me here, so I wasn't able to
mm-hmm.
look this up this morning. There's people in the Netherlands who have a therapy called CEASE, C-E-A-S-E.
Yes.
So are you familiar with that?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
that is
great.
Dr. Tina Smith's.
Okay.
That's his therapy.
Great. And so they say that sometimes you have to actually use in order to use a Tautode curatively, you must make the Tautode from the same lot that the vaccine was given. So I'm now thinking, just this instant, I had the thought that we may want to start saving every vial of vaccine when we give a rabies vaccine and label it and pop it in the fridge and keep it. And then if the animal gets ill, we actually make a tautode from the exact vial of vaccine that seemed to make the animal ill.
That's an awesome concept. And, you know, you're going to have the vial and whatever's left, the material clinging to the inside of the vial will be there.
Well, and also, holistic veterinarians frequently give smaller doses of the rabies vaccine. Because
and,
it doesn't make any sense to give the same dose to a Great Dane and a Chihuahua.
Oh, that is good thinking. So you're considering the size and the weight of the animal. And
right.
Is it considered hazardous waste? I mean, you have to dispose of these vials in a proper manner?
A vaccine is not hazardous. A vaccine cannot, theoretically, cannot cause the disease. Because rabies are a killed vaccine, not a modified live.
Okay.
Okay, so as long as it's a killed vaccine. Now, I don't know all the laws about hazardous waste disposal since I'm not working in a clinic anymore.
Okay.
So what Don has used is a generic vaccine, so he doesn't know where it came from. It's even 10 years old, so it's not one of the current vaccines. So he's wondering if maybe that's why it sometimes doesn't help.
You can theorize quite a bit. Homeopathically, it's based on the similimum. So if it is not the specific exact vial, but it's close enough, then it probably would work if that's what the pet or the human actually needs to heal. So I don't know that it would need to be that exact dose, that exact matching substance. Now, the other person that you would want to look up is Manfred Mueller. He's the president of NASH, and that is his expertise. And he's written extensively about tautopathic therapy. And he has been on our shows numerous times. You could look up
old
shows. And And he will be on again on the Health In show up and coming this year. And so there are many people who are working with isopathy, tautology. Yeah, tautopathy or tautology. And they find that working with children who have ADHD, autism, and other immune spectrum diseases, that this process actually gets them to functioning in their class, in getting into mainstream classes and things like that. So it's working. And it's a combination, like you say, nutritionally and using the CEASE therapy method of Dr. Tina Smits.
Which is
and
what? What's the CEASE therapy?
The CEASE therapy is similar to exactly that, tautopathy, which gives them a series of, similar vaccines. So you're going, and it doesn't need to be a vaccine. Like somebody could have a reaction to any kind of a drug that is given or any kind of a allergen or peanut oil, or if the mother had taken, was sensitive to something, maybe an antihistamine that they were taking to clear their congestion or any other kind of anti-nausea drug. So basically it's working back through in history, looking at the parent's heritage and the animal or human heritage. What was it? Like etiology, what was it, the cause of that change in behavior or function, whether the animal stopped eating or was apathetic or had fatigue? What was it that changed their behavior that you noticed in one of your journals that you can look back and say, well, let's see if we give this similar, we'll heal the reaction that the body is having, and they know what they're doing over time. Now, the question that you had about the homeoprophylaxis, and I had the exact same concerns and worries, and in my mind, you know, we're not supposed to really give a remedy unless a living organism shows that they are sensitive to something, and they have we can observe exactly what it is and determine what remedy to give. But
right.
If you have a hereditary problem that you have a sensitivity to certain things, and this is a way to what we call educate the immune system. It's not as if you are giving repeated doses over and over that could cause proving symptoms, which we might be concerned about. But what they have been finding with this process is that they give a remedy, one nosode, one kind of a remedy for those who are not familiar with homeopathy, let's say a pertussis. They give a similar of the pertussis vaccine, and in a medium...
They give a tautoad of it.
Yep, they give in
okay.
a tautoad of it, or it could be a nosode, and you give that remedy once and wait for to see if there's any reaction. If there's no reaction, then basically there's probably not a sensitivity to it. In that case, you just wait a month and then you give the next remedy. And what you're doing is educating the immune system to be awakened to know this is me or this is foreign to me. And they are finding that it works beautifully. Now, let's say a child does then show an immune response, which might be a fever, some kind of a runny nose, irritability, a discharge, lack of appetite, any little thing that really just shows that the immune system is reacting and to that particular tautopathy or a nosode. In that case, you just wait and see how long the response is. It might be 12, 24, or 48 hours. Then it's gone, and then you see the kids back to their regular self. So now you've just educated the immune system. And that's what they're finding. Now, if there is a bigger response, then you might repeat the dose one more time and then see again if within 24, 48 hours, now you don't have a response again. That's the education. And this is the method that's being used in hundreds of people, hundreds of kids around the world. Actually, there's hundreds of facilitators and supervisors who are doing this to hundreds of kids. So it's actually a data collection like a clinical trial, and they're getting great results. If anybody
what's the website link for people to go to who might be interested in this?
Okay. I think let me look it up. It's Free and Healthy Children. It's under the supervision of Kate Birch and Scylla Watcott, who have been speaking worldwide. I mean, they travel everywhere on every continent to do this program. Let me see if I can get you that. Okay, it is http://freeandhealthychildren.com. You can learn about it also and get their books at vaccinefree.wordpress.com. And they have tons.
That's good to remind people about that, because that's a good website in general for people who are interested in vaccine problems and reactions.
Yeah. And so it's really wonderful that they have been investing all of their time, energy, their life work into doing this kind of thing, and we're really fortunate for that. I will put that link up onto the chat because we have a bunch of people there. If anybody has a comment or a question about their pet, we are open for discussion. Just give us a call at 347-945-6956 or click the blue Skype button.
Definitely ask your questions, because the vaccination of animals is such a broad topic that you know, we're going into really specifically on the homeopathy side, which is important because we have done vaccine talks before, and you can certainly go to Homeopathy World Community, check on me with the big hat, and you can listen to the old shows. I am going to take just a minute, Debbie, to go through the just very basic about vaccines for people who are, since we do have a number of people on the line or who will be listening in. So in terms of vaccinating for animals, number one, don't do it. Number two, remember that vaccines are potentially very damaging to your animals. Number three, if you don't do it for yourself, don't do it for your animals. So you don't get measles every year of your life until you die. So you wouldn't want to do distemper or parvo every year of their life until they die. Number four, there are some diseases that animals get are viral diseases. Vaccines for viral diseases are very, very, very effective. And if there's any immunity at all, it lasts a lifetime. So distemper for dogs, parvo for dogs, and panleukopenia for cats are viral vaccines. So if you want to be super on the safe side, we don't do this for people, but if you want to be super on the safe side, you give your puppy or kitten shots if you choose to do that, or you simply allow your animals to be exposed and you're connected well enough with a homeopathic veterinarian or holistic veterinarian that if they get ill, you know you've got somebody on hand to treat them. So either they're vaccinated as puppies and kittens or you've allowed them to get natural exposure. And then at about 6 months of age, thereabouts, it could be 4 months, 8 months, a year, at some point you do a titer test. Blood is drawn and they test for distemper and parvo or they test for panleukopenia. Too many people have realized the danger of vaccinations and now are doing titer tests every year, which are very expensive. There's no need to waste your money on that. So
what should they do if they're not doing? Go ahead.
Hang on. So once you've done the first titer test, if it shows that the vaccination actually activated the immune system in the animal, then you know your animal is vaccinated for life, even if the titer, which indicates the number of antibodies in the blood, even if the titer drops off, there's cell-mediated immunity that will go into action. So you never need to do a titer again. If they've got a good titer at any point in their life, they're protected for the rest of their life. Now, having said that, sometimes the regulations of various places and things we want to do with our animals make you do titers. So there's a local hospital pet therapy program here in Baltimore. And that pet therapy program is more than willing for people to not vaccinate, but they do ask for a titer every year. So that would be you use the titer simply because you want your dog to do pet therapy. But it's not because there's a need to do it. That's the other vaccines are basically not needed or they're very ineffective. And we're not going to take time today to go into each of the different vaccines. The next point is whenever your animals are, well, the next point is you do need to stay legal with the rabies vaccine. If you have an animal who's had very negative reactions to the rabies vaccine, you need to be speaking with a holistic veterinarian who will work with you to get around the rabies vaccine by sending in exemptions or pre-treating them with homeopathic remedies or flower essences, treating afterwards. So there are things you can do if you choose not to do the rabies vaccine. But as long as your animals are healthy enough, I suggest going ahead and staying legal with the rabies vaccine. I would recommend that you go to an integrative veterinarian who is willing to be appropriate with the amount of rabies vaccine they give and when they give it. So they're not going to be upset if you call and cancel your appointment the day of the rabies vaccine because you say, you know, she woke up this morning and she's sneezing, so I don't want to give her a vaccine. She's not completely healthy. The insert in the vaccine packages actually says for use in healthy animals only. So the tragic story of that I just heard on the free service I do through all experts, this dog went in to have dentistry, and the dog had been healthy its whole life. It was 10 or 12 years old, went in to get dentistry, was not current on its vaccines, and they said, in order to be in the hospital to get the dentistry, we have to give the vaccines right now. So that mm-hmm. makes no sense, because they were vaccinating the animal and immediately doing anesthesia and dentistry on the animal and hospitalizing. It takes at least a week or two for a vaccine to generate immunity. So that hospital was actually being, I don't know what the word is, but I would call it malpractice. So mm-hmm. you never want to have vaccines given as you go into a hospital, as you go into a clinic, and you can use the only for use in healthy animals for that. Sometimes you just have to remind them of that. So,
right.
So that's sort of just the very basic about vaccines. But I think we need to get back to looking at, you know, it's looking at the bigger picture. So, Debbie, you asked, are we doing any studies like this with animals? We're not.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has had the time or the money to step forth yet to even mm-hmm. do good case collection. We're very close to starting case collecting.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Hockley of Redstone Media Group, which is Animal Wellness Magazine, Equine Wellness, and the Integrative Veterinary Care Journal, is actually willing to start collecting cases from homeopathic veterinarians and holistic veterinarians in general, not just homeopathy. So what we want is every time a veterinarian begins a case with homeopathy and they're planning on treating this case with homeopathy, that it then gets entered into the system.
Mm-hmm.
That day, it gets entered into the system. And then we can tell, how many remedies were given? One remedy and the owner decided to go back to conventional. One remedy and the animal was cured. 20 remedies and it went to another homeopathic vet, or it went back to conventional, so that we can track every single one. Or I'm doing Chinese medicine on this animal, gets entered into the case collection. So we can, what we'll be able to do there is in some way we'll be able to measure vaccine, we'll be able to tell vaccine reactions, because we'll have cases come in where the vaccine was given and that was the beginning of all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, and that hasn't even started yet, that has to happen. So,
right. It's a group effort, and people have to be able to be willing to volunteer a little bit of their time and do it as a team. I mean,
yes.
we can't expect one person to carry the load of preparing and creating these studies and getting it all done. I know Kate and Scylla have worked together in partnership for many, many years, but they're also practitioners who do case studies, and they're extremely well organized and highly experienced.
So far we haven't had anybody like that show up in the veterinary field.
And they're training. Yeah, and they're training other homeopaths and healthcare practitioners around the globe to do this work, so that it is not just on their shoulders.
Right.
So we have some questions
Good.
That hopefully you will answer.
I'll try.
Yep. Okay. Number one, what is your recommendation for preparing the animal before getting a vaccination if you know that, let's say, they're going to do the rabies, the required
mm-hmm.
legal
Right.
Okay.
So number one is be sure they're healthy. Number two, one of the ways of being sure they're healthy is you can check in with an intuitive healer, or you can learn yourself how to ask yes-no questions of the universe through dowsing, pendulum, applied kinesiology, that type of thing. So be sure they're healthy. Number two is I like the spirit essence combination flower essence called Vaccine Detox. D-E-T-O-X, because I have never seen an issue with flower essences interfering with homeopathic treatment. I've never seen a negative reaction to a flower essence. They recommend giving it for 2 weeks after the vaccine. I recommend giving it for 1 to 2 weeks before the vaccine, and then for 1 to 2 weeks after the vaccine. And so that's basically it for before the vaccine. Now, when you're at the vaccine clinic, if it's not a holistic clinic that has already done this to the vaccine, the thing to do before the vaccine is get yourself trained in Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or quantum touch or another energy modality that, quote, can take the bad out of things. So when you go into the office, they've drawn up the rabies in the syringe, you hold it in your hand until there's no more draw. You will be able, if you're trained in Reiki or these other energy modalities, it will take a lot of the potential negative effects away. It shifts the vibration to a neutral vibration that actually will do okay for your animal. And if you're at a clinic where, because of where you live, you have no choice in veterinarians, and your veterinarian would freak out if you talked about Reiki, what you tell them is, I've heard about the damage that can be caused by vaccines, and that is happening all over. People do hear that all over, so they know that. And I would like to pray over this vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Okay? No vet will ever tell you you can't pray.
Uh-huh.
So you do your Reiki, which is a form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as soon as, either in the office if it's a holistic vet, or in the car, once you're in the car, you Reiki the vaccination site. And then when you're home, for the next few days to weeks, you offer Reiki. Nowadays with animals, we're offering rather than giving Reiki. So you offer Reiki, and for however many days.
How do you offer instead of give?
Giving is usually you're sitting there with your hands, trying to put your hands on the animal or very mm-hmm. near the animal. It's like you're directing your hands at the animal. Now, that's mm-hmm. what you'll do at the injection site that one time. But in general, what works best for animals is to sort of give them the choice. So you sit down on the couch and they're in the room with you with the door open so they can leave, and you just start doing Reiki. And you set the intent, anybody in this house who needs this Reiki, come and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will either come over to you, lie down beside you, stay in the room, or leave the room. And do it for mm-hmm. 10 or 15 minutes. So you're treating yourself, which is always a good thing. You're helping the whole planet and the universe by doing that. And your animal will get as much as he needs. So once your animal, is not hanging around anymore, maybe 2 or 3 days he hangs in the room and the next 2 days he's gone, then you stop doing it. The other thing you do afterwards is you pay very close attention to the early warning signs. And we have those, we've talked about those. So those are on back places. And you can see them at my website, myhealthyanimals.com, or on the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy website as well. So the early warning signs of internal imbalance are things like a little bit of crud in the corner of the eye, a red line on the gum, odor to the coat, the paws, the stool, the urine, little things that wouldn't take you to the vet because the conventional vet wouldn't know what to do with them, but they're signs that the animal is not completely healthy. So when you see those, then you're going to amp up anything you can think of to do to help the immune system, and consult your homeopath or your Chinese medicine or other healing practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So those you actually answered questions about before and after in terms of preparing your animal,
mm-hmm.
and probably preparing yourself as the owner and companion.
Mm-hmm.
The next question is how to find out about requirements for vaccines in your state. Is there
Florida, the only vaccine that is legally required no matter what your local veterinarian says to you casually or what the tech says to you casually, when you persist and actually say, what vaccine is legally required?
Mm-hmm.
The only legally required vaccine is rabies.
Mm-hmm.
Now have the entire United States, except for a very few small towns or townships, it's every 3 years for the rabies vaccine.
Okay.
Florida does or did have a law that professional breeders who were selling puppies legally had to give one round of vaccinations before they sold them. So there may be a few specialized laws that are out there, but don't let anybody tell you the state or federal government says you have to give a distemper vaccine. Not
mm-hmm.
true. Okay?
Okay. Very good. Okay. Now, the next question is something that maybe other veterinarians or other holistic people or other people are recommending. They say give an antihistamine before administering the vaccine. And they tell that to, I don't know what antihistamines you give
okay,
to
so,
pets.
So here's the thing. In a conventional okay. veterinary practice, my commitment when I graduated from veterinary school and I was in conventional practices, it seemed as if the most important thing was to make sure that animals got as many vaccinations as we could possibly give them to prevent any possible problems
mm-hmm.
and give them as often, give them even more frequently than once a year. So if an animal was in for a dentistry or a surgery, and going under anesthetic, I would always say, you know, your rabies vaccine is due in 3 months. Why don't we just do it today? So I did it
mm-hmm.
at times they shouldn't have been done because my mm-hmm. commitment was get that vaccine in, and I thought if they were under anesthesia, then it wouldn't hurt them so much.
Right.
You know, like the jab wouldn't hurt. Of course, it never hurts anyway because needles
yeah.
are so sharp. So if
you're
you
just,
have an animal
joking.
In a conventional practice, you're committed to giving these vaccines, and the animal has a bad reaction to the vaccine, which you have to treat usually with steroids or antihistamines when they're having their anaphylactic reaction after the vaccine. Then what you do is you say, okay, with this animal, you make big notes on the record, this animal must be pre-treated before every vaccine is given. So you're giving a drug, either antihistamines or steroids, ahead of time so that when you poison them with something that's throwing their vital force off, they won't show any symptoms. So
yeah.
my answer is no, do not use antihistamines before vaccines.
Right. Oh, boy. That's a good answer. Well, the other part of that equation is that you have to question the purpose of the vaccine, what it is that you're trying to do, and the purpose of the antihistamine. Just like they might even say to children today, they say, give an antipyretic, give something that's going to prevent them from having a fever. Now, what did I just explain at the beginning of the show? That the showing that the immune system is actually up and running, it's tuned up and ready to go. If you have foreign matter inside, you have a fever, raise the temperature of the body so that it eliminates and does not provide a good environment for that bacteria or virus or whatever it is to keep proliferating and cause a problem. But actually, it's the body's immune system that is working properly when you have a fever. It's good. And so what happens is if you give the antipyretic before the vaccine and now the immune system is confused. It doesn't know what it's supposed to do, and it's hiding the actual response. And it's not a good idea to do that in terms of both preventing a fever or the antihistamine reaction, because what are you doing with that vaccine? It's filled with things to sensitize the body to a disease, or obviously it's causing a lot of other kinds of havoc because it's got so many other ingredients in it that sensitizes and hypersensitizes the immune system to things like peanut oil, heavy metal aluminum, which is all over in our environment, to MSG, to other kinds of things that are in the vaccine itself. So that's you have to kind of look at it in a logical way. Why are you preventing the body's immune system from responding?
Exactly.
Yeah. So if those folks in the chat have any comments or questions, we would love to hear from you.
Great, and we'll keep answering them every time the questions come up. Then, so now let's get back a little bit to tautodes.
Okay.
So people who are, you know, really doing homeopathy and are interested in tautodes. So some people then were talking about doing tautodes automatically right after giving the vaccine to prevent any problem. Again,
really?
I wouldn't do that. What I would do is, again, I would give the vaccine and then I would wait. If symptoms appear, even if they're a week, 2 weeks, a month, or 2 months later, but we feel that nothing else has happened in the meantime to create the symptoms, then I'm going to look, first, I'm going to look for the similimum. What is the individual remedy this animal needs to heal? But if the animal doesn't respond to the similimum, or there really aren't very many symptoms, maybe it's just that now there's goop in the corner of the eye and the dog has a little bit of an odor. You know, that's not really enough to give sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe at that point I would try a tautode first, and maybe they're 20% less energetic,
mm-hmm.
and not quite as friendly as normal. So if that's the case, then I would... then I would be waiting, you know. So I would give the tautode.
So you're saying that they don't have extreme symptoms. They just have slight. They're just a little bit off.
Yep, they're non-characteristic symptoms. So how am I going to get a remedy? I don't have enough information for a remedy. If that's the case, then I would give. In the past, I might have given Thuja, or
mm-hmm.
Listen at that point. Saying, well, I know it was vaccine, you know, but it's not very specific. But now I'm going to really be looking into giving tautodes.
Mm-hmm.
And another veterinarian, Dr. Lori Leonard, on our listserv, was talking to Don's response about, how, you know, treating how so many lay people particularly are giving Listen after every rabies vaccine, and a lot of holistic veterinarians who are not homeopathically trained will give Listen, which is made from rabbit dog saliva. They will give Listen, so Chinese medicine, chiropractors, etc., because they've heard that's the thing to do. So that's
You're saying not even holistic, but just a traditionally trained vet?
No, holistic, but not homeopathic.
Okay. Okay.
Will give homeopathic remedy. So a Chinese medicine vet might give this homeopathic remedy. Some people even inject some Listen into each of their rabies vials. Every animal is going to get the Listen. So there are multiple approaches. So Lori Leonard says, Don, and it's a great question, Don, how would you know how well the Listen or the rabies tautode works? Does this mean that for all the patients I gave Listen and a rabies immunization to, and they had no apparent ill effects, that really they weren't going to have a problem anyway?
Right.
Or maybe it's too soon, and we're going to see some chronic disease down the line that the Listen didn't take care of.
Right.
However, it could be that it's the other stuff in the vaccine that's causing the problem. So that's why it would be better to give the tautode. Now I have a human example of that. There's Dr. I think it's Bernie Prokusioff. I can never pronounce his name right. He's a MD in the Philadelphia area. And he became more and more. This is about 10 years ago. He and I can't think of her name now, became more and more concerned that it was the thimerosal, the mercury product, that was causing the problem in these children. So he got hold of some thimerosal by itself. So not a tautoed of the whole vaccine, but he made a remedy, had a remedy made up from the thimerosal. And he had a friend patient who was a chiropractor and had chosen not to vaccinate his young boy. And the boy was, you know, really smart, doing well, everything age appropriate or a little bit sooner. And then their synagogue had a very bad case of flu, and for some reason he went ahead and gave the flu vaccine. Within a week, the boy could no longer tie his shoes and was moving into autism. So they tried, Dr. Prokusioff tried to find the right remedy, tried to find the similimum. And the boy was not responding well. So he said to the chiropractor, well, you know, I've got this isopathic remedy or tautoed made from the thimerosal. Shall we try it? And they did, and the child responded brilliantly and then went on to need some other remedies, but it brought him back to where he was. So that's an example that it was definitely something in the vaccine that was causing the problem, not the organism that was causing
right.
the problem.
Right, exactly. So is that wasn't Dr. Lawrence Pilevsky?
No.
No, it was a different doctor. Okay.
Bernie, it's something like Prociuiek, something like that. And then they used that thimerosal for a long period of time. He actually spoke on it, I think, at an NCH conference. Or another conference. He and Beth both used it. But I'm thinking that probably it's even better to use a tautoed of the vaccine itself.
Yep, that sounds like an interesting study that could go on. So, and he's in what location?
Philadelphia area.
Is he a regular allopath?
MD. No, he's a homeopathic MD. I mean, an MD, and he's a homeopath.
Okay. So we
and
have
my
to...
computer isn't working to look things up right now.
That's okay.
Now, there's also in the listserv, and again, I couldn't find it because my computer was off, there's somebody named Elmiger, E-L-M-I-G-E-R, who speaks about tautodes. Are you familiar with him?
Say his name again.
E-L-M-I. G-E-R. Elmiger.
Okay.
Because
who he is.
Don does say, I will recommend tautoed per Elmiger. So it looks like Elmiger has been somebody who's written about tautodes.
Okay, well, there is a Gene Elmiger who has written Rediscovering Real Medicine, The New Horizons of Homeopathy.
That's probably who it is then.
And Dr. Elmiger explains how homeopathy can succeed when orthodox medicine has failed and shows the steps that can be taken to maintain good health. So that's a book that we need to talk about or learn about, a Swiss physician.
Okay. And then back to not giving remedies right after the after a vaccine, I want to add in Dr. Larry Bernstein, who's an awesome homeopathic veterinarian in Florida, who actually I got started. He came to Kara Campbell, hosted about 3 years' worth of classes, and she really focused on getting veterinarians. And the people who came to my homeopathy classes, those veterinarians have taken off and become leaders in the field. And Larry Bernstein has been many officers for the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy, as well as many officers, including president for both, many officers for the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. And he puts tons of time in computer-wise, and he's amazing. And what he said is he has stopped any automatic dosing post-vaccination, especially rabies. I try to have a good sense of the patient before the rabies, so I know where they will probably break, in quotation, if they do, which means he'll, you know, he's thinking ahead of time what symptoms are likely to occur so he can warn the client about it. Then they often need a dose of their chronic, or I dose with a remedy that addresses the specific symptoms they exhibit post-vaccine. And if it's a rabies vaccine, I will use the rubric mind hydrophobia as an elimination rubric.
And if that's if they show that they have hydrophobia?
Well, it's just that they're showing any symptoms at all, and it occurred after the rabies vaccine. And I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. If I feel the rabies vaccine triggered the condition, then I'm going to eliminate to mind hydrophobia.
And for those who want to know, it means fear of water. The historic
but it
name
also
for
is
the
a, it's also a synonym for rabies. In this case, mind hydrophobia is rabies. It is not just a fear of water. Fear of water is under fear, is under mind fear water.
Okay.
So it's very different.
Okay, very good.
Although there are some of the same remedies in there. Mind, fear, water also has listen in there.
yes, it absolutely does.
Right.
It says the historic name for the disease, this hydrophobia, refers to the dread of swallowing fluids for this type of a patient. So I guess you would be able to see that, observe that in the animal, this fear. And so they might not want to go near water to drink it, I guess.
Exactly. But that's not a symptom you're going to really, when they're in that phase, that's when they're near, when they're within 10 days of dying. That's when they can infect another animal. It's just used as a synonym for rabies miasm. That's all it is. That rubric is rabies miasm, basically.
Thank you so much.
Doesn't have to have a fear of water.
Okay, thank you so much for explaining that, because I would imagine most people would not understand that or know that.
Yep.
Okay, so you really covered a great deal about not giving a antihistamine before administering or after administering a vaccine right away, and all the reasons for it, and lots of resources of people that you can connect with, contact, research, look up, especially Dr. Larry Bernstein, who did study with Dr. Richard Pitcairn. And he has an extensive amount of training in homeopathy, and as has
Don Hamilton in Don Hamilton's book. Don studied with Dr. Pitcairn as well, and Larry studied with me. Don didn't. Don and I started in homeopathy about the same time. I was about 5 years before Don, but he's.
Well, that's great.
Now, the other thing I want to be sure we mention here before we finish, every time I talk about rabies and rabies vaccine, particularly because some people choose to not give the rabies vaccine, is that, number one, although the law says every 3 years after the first year, you give one, repeat it in a year, then do it every 3 years, there is an ongoing study called the Rabies Challenge Fund. And at the end of this, hopefully, there are a whole bunch of problems with it because of some legality stuff in terms of labs and isolation facilities and all sorts of things. But hopefully by the end of it, we will be able to say that the rabies vaccine lasts for at least 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of us need to work together to change the laws from 3 years to 5 or 7 years, however the study comes out. So keep giving money to the study. The study still needs money. Gene Dodds and Ron Schultz and I think it's Christy Keith are putting thousands of hours of their time into this. So the way we can support them is to fund the money that will keep the animals alive. And
also, the name of the study, what's the name of the study?
It's the Rabies Challenge Fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just looking that up so I can give it to
folks. I think
it's
rabieschallengefund.com. .org, right. That's right.
Okay, great.
So,
anybody out there will have a comment. anybody want to call in or write something on the chat, you're welcome to. I'm encouraging people.
The second important thing about rabies is if you rescue a young animal who clearly has a bite wound, you really need to make sure that it does get a rabies vaccination. And then you need to be careful for 6 months, even after getting the rabies vaccination. So I had someone had taken my classes. She rescues cats on a regular basis. She called me for a six-month-old kitten who was acting weak and wobbly in the back and seeming paralyzed and had a high fever. She had rescued this cat 2 months before with an abscess that she treated homeopathically, and he totally recovered from that. But now he actually had developed rabies because the bite wound from 2 months before, and now he was in the last 10 days of life. He did die. She buried him. I told her to dig him up and get his head tested. And he was positive for rabies, and he had bitten her, and so she did need, you know, just in caring for him and force feeding him, she had, you know, gotten a puncture. And so you really, young animals, particularly strays, you have to realize that you don't know their vaccine history, so be very careful. So that's just a warning.
That is a big warning. That's kind of a scary warning, but which means that there are situations where you do need to have your animal vaccinated. Maybe you can explain to me what it is.
All you need, rabies is viral vaccine. It lasts a lifetime. So the only reason to repeat the rabies vaccine is to comply with the law.
Okay, but... maybe you can help me out, though, to understand what happened in this particular case, because she took in a stray animal. The cat had an abscess. It was treated homeopathically with whatever Hepersulf or Mercurius or whatever remedy it was, and the abscess went away. So, but the rabies itself, if that was a symptomatology of the rabies, was still there in the body. So how is it, I'm trying to understand how to understand what happened in the animal and why the rabies itself wasn't eliminated from the homeopathic remedy that was given that treated the outward symptom.
Well, because the rabies was not causing the abscess. The bite wound, the bite injected bacteria and caused trauma, tissue trauma. The body created an abscess as a natural, healthy response to a bite. But in this case, in some cases it might have been fine, but in this case, the body's immune system was not able to counter, even with apparently good homeopathy, the body's immune system was not able to counter the rabies virus that was slowly making its way through the body until it got to the brain. And then 2 months later, it was now in the brain and had developed to the point where it was now an infectious. It could now infect other animals. And that always only happens within 10 days of them being ready to die.
Okay.
And developing paralysis and being very ill. So it was that we treated, you know, part of the animal, but not the whole animal. But there were no symptoms. The rabies may or may not be showing any symptoms. And that's a good, you know, homeopathically, that's a really good question. It's like, if there's a virus that sits there for a long time, but it's not showing us anything, can we treat it?
Yes.
I don't know. So, I don't know the answer to that.
that goes back to the initial conversation about homeoprophylaxis, doesn't it? That perhaps if they were doing that, they would have covered it, and once a simulamum for the rabies was given, you would have seen something, a response from that animal. That's really fascinating. And so this is also, to me, it doesn't make sense to me that the virus could have been inhabiting that animal's body and not showing any symptoms until the last 10 days of life.
That is always how the rabies vaccine works.
Oh.
That is by definition, by experience, by everything, that is the modus operandi for rabies.
Okay. And for rabies, the disease, not necessarily, or the vaccine? Because you said the rabies vaccine is this way. But what about...
Totally different.
Okay, good.
You need to separate out the progression of disease in rabies with a actual rabies virus and the damage that's caused, the symptoms and damage that's caused by a rabies vaccine.
Okay.
Very different. And again, because it's a killed vaccine, so it's not mimicking the rabies disease. The problem from the rabies vaccine is at an energetic level purely.
Okay. Great. I mean, this is really important that maybe other people have similar questions that I have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this was awesome today. Let me see if we had... I thought we might go through a number of homeopathic remedies, but... another time we're going to be talking about common allergic foods. If you have a topic that you would like for Dr. Chambreau to talk about, please send them to homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com, or you can give your email or myhealthyanimals.com.
Myhealthyanimals.com is the website.
Yeah.
And
right.
My email is healthyanimals@aol.com.
Right. So you can contact either one of us if you have specific questions about your pet that we could address in general. And then you could always call her for professional assistance. And, you know, this is really a forum for us to discuss our concerns about keeping our environment clean, our animals healthy, our families, because the animals are part of our families, and we do love them and want them to live a strong, healthy life. Do you have any other comments? And then I'm going to be talking about upcoming shows, especially the Health In shows, and talking about light therapy is going to come up on Monday, full spectrum lights and what light does for our immune system, and a bunch of other shows. I'll talk about that. I'll let you get off the air and go do your thing today.
First, there are two things. One is just to know that the second Wednesday of each month, we're doing this show with me. So you want to put that on your calendar now. It will be October 9th would be the next one. And then October 13th would be the one after that.
Okay.
And the second thing I want to say is it's not about vaccines, but it's important for people who are still on the line. I hope people are still listening.
Yeah, we have a bunch of listeners.
Excellent. So, again, on our listserv, we have actually it was on the AVH webinar that we did Monday night that we do once a month for homeopathic veterinarians who are members of AVH. So get your veterinarian to do homeopathy and get them to, and then they can be on this webinar and learn all sorts of things. What we learned, Sue Beal is a homeopathic veterinarian working for the Department of Agriculture in Pennsylvania, and I was bringing up the problems with glyphosate, which is part of Roundup, which is part of what Monsanto uses on its crops, and GMO corn, GMO wheat are common in pet foods.
Yep.
What I didn't, so I know the damage of that, really bad stuff. Here's what I didn't realize. Free-range pasture chickens. I go to the farm. I see these chickens. They're out there. They're in the pasture. Sue said that at most 30% and more likely 15% of their nutrients can come from their environment. So every pasture-reared chicken, truly pasture-reared chicken, not just the definition where they have a little tiny door and they really aren't out, but even truly reared pasture chickens, 60 to 80% of their nutrition is coming from grain. So if they're eating grains that are GMO grains that have been raised with Roundup and these other chemicals, the chickens we're buying for our animals are actually causing ill health. And she's doing studies and working on that. So everybody, you want to make sure that whatever food you're feeding, if it's a commercial raw food diet or if you're getting your own meats for yourself or your animals, they need to be chickens that are not only free range, but now we have to add in that the grains are organic.
You mean the grains that they're ranging on?
That the chickens are being fed. The chicken food that is being fed to the pastured chicken must be organic.
Oh, yeah. When I was doing chickens, we specifically ordered, you can go to the local farmer's supply house and get what's called organic feed for those chickens. And
but a
so
lot
you're,
of places
you're saying
don't
that they're,
say that.
Okay.
And so if you're getting raw food diet, you need to ask that question. Some of them are, mm-hmm. some of them aren't.
Okay.
So it's just, it's just up the level again. We have to ask about smart, we have to not have smart meters on our house measuring our electricity. We
right.
need to try to, you know, keep our, as you were saying, keeping our environment clean. This is one more chunk of it. And when we talk about food, maybe the next time we'll talk more about this and I'll have more information at that point. There are two books I recommend reading. One is Up Cycle, and that's by William McDonough, McDonough. He's the architect at the University of Virginia. He wrote Cradle to Cradle maybe 15 years ago, and Upcycle is, you know how recycling is like barely helping the planet because it costs a lot, so we want to upcycle and do things that actually help the planet. So rather than living in a way that protects the planet, which is what I do, and making mm-hmm. people wrong for the decisions they make, what we want to do now in this book is to design our lives proactively so we enrich the planet. So that this veterinarian at the conference that I spent time with at the retreat in Corvallis, Oregon, there's somebody mm-hmm. in Oregon who designed a factory that is totally environmentally sustainable, so the footprint is neutral, the water coming out is clean, and it takes plastic and turns it into oil you can use in your car as gas.
Wow!
And the plant only costs $1.25 million. So she's putting together grants. She has a four-year plan to begin this, and then within 10 years, she's going to have the entire city of Corvallis be energy neutral. That's called designing your life to enrich the planet.
Well, that's where my daughter is right now.
Is Corvallis?
Yes, it is. She's doing her graduate work there.
Okay, well, she's got to meet this woman then. It'll be cool.
Okay.
So we want people to so read Upcycle by Bill McDonough. It's very positive, very, very positive and upbeat. And two is Michael Pollan, our favorite author of Omnivore's Dilemma and Raising mm-hmm. Healthy Food and Raising Animals in a Nice Way and all of that. His newest book is Cooked, C-O-O-K-E-D.
C-O-O-K-E-D is the new book.
And it's about how we started. He actually says the fire is what made us social. because before fire, you'd just go out and kill your animal and eat your food. Once you had fire, you all had to sit around and wait for it to cook so you got to talk to each other.
That's a riot.
I love it. So the book is great. So I highly recommend those two books for everybody, even though they're not specifically about animals. Our animals' health is dependent on what they're talking about.
Everybody's sitting around the fire stirring the pot.
That's right.
Everybody had a turn. Okay,
and with that, I will sign off. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for all you do, Deborah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, so we were really fortunate today to have Dr. Christina Chambreau talking with us all about vaccines, and we learned so much. If you missed the beginning of the show, this will be archived, and you can tune into it. You can share it on Twitter, on Facebook, on any other network. You can even get the embed code and put it on your own blog for those of you who are into health and want to provide this service to the people who come to your website. You can even write a blog about it. This is great information. And I want to tell you what's lined up next. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Alan Phillips, attorney at law, expert in exemptions and waivers in vaccinations, will be on Homeopathy World Community in partnership with Freedomizer Radio. You can go to Freedomizer Radio also, which is a revolutionary blog talk radio and website. And we're going to be talking about vaccines in humans, mostly, and what are the current events, what are the legal ramifications, what are your rights. If you have any questions, if you have any personal situation for immunizations, whether you are a new citizen, an immigrant, in the military, sending your kids to school, what are the requirements, all of these questions that you may have, what's happening with mandatory laws, what's happening with contagious disease and pandemics, and he runs the website pandemicresponseproject.org, and we have lots and lots of news to talk about and his take on it, and also we often have other experts coming in. Greg Glazer from California, a constitutional lawyer, and Rich, his partner on that pandemicresponseproject.com. And I'm not sure if it's .com or .org or .net, you know, but I'm sure you'll find it. And coming up Monday, I have for us Linnea Hahn, who is an expert with lights, with full spectrum lighting, and she's going to be showing us and even demonstrating on the live video show, nissancommunications.com, healthin.php. If you go to nissancommunications.com and look up that Health In channel, you will find her. And she's going to tell you the links that she's found in all of her research in so many years of work about the need for all the rays of the light spectrum and what we're doing in our homes today by having other kinds of yellow lights or blue lights or different kinds of lighting and what that does, whether we're lacking something and how it improves seasonal affective disorder, even dental caries, concentration, clarity of mind. She also talks about Alzheimer's and other kinds of illnesses due to the fact that we're not getting proper light into our body and through our skin and our eyes, and how those light boxes will actually work to alleviate the depression that people have in the shorter hours in winter. So this is real science, and she's going to demonstrate what happens with that light. Also coming up, that's on this coming Monday, September 16th. On September 23rd, Kate Birch, who has been mentioned all throughout the first part of this show, she's going to talk about herd immunity, the theory of herd immunity, the origins of that theory, how it actually came to be and how it works or does not work, what we are really truly looking for in herd immunity, because developments in that area have been coming about in the most recent years, especially in Cuba, where they're giving homeopathic prophylactic remedies to millions of people to prevent leptospirosis and other kinds of outbreak diseases. And what happens in the outlying areas for persons who have not actually taken that homeopathic prophylaxis but have already lowered their incidence of disease? It's really fascinating research and information coming into the foreground today, how people can be affected by the other people in proximity to them. That's a herd immunity. If you are immune, if your immune system has been prepared and educated to be able to alleviate the symptoms quickly, let's say you get the disease, but you show limited, none, or no symptoms, and you have energized your own immune system to withstand this disease, and what happens to the other people in your family who are near you? What happens to the other people in your community who are near you, where your immune system itself is strengthened? It's going to be fascinating talk that September 23rd on the NissanCommunications.com network. And you will also see bulletins and banners on Homeopathy World Community. I will put it on Homeopathy World Community and the Facebook page. Following that, we're going to have Maria Bowl speaking with us on September 3rd. And October 2nd is Ghanshyam Galathia, who has spoken to us before about the magic of the exact match in homeopathy. He's giving free educational programming over the internet. I highly recommend tuning into his shows. He's amazing how he finds the similimum, or the most closely matching remedy, to help a person heal their problem, whether it is in business, in their poverty level, in their fears, in their delusions, in their dreams, or in actual physical symptoms that they're showing. And that's a really important part of it. Upcoming after that will be October 7th with Ananda Moore. And she has been producing an incredible movie all about homeopathy, and again, herd immunity and homeoprophylaxis. The memory of water it's going to be an award-winning documentary, no doubt about it, and she's going to have a lot to tell us. Today, because it is a special day, I wanted to talk about 9/11 and just thoughts and prayers and hopes and wishes for the America and the rest of the world, all the continents on the planet going forward, and how our mindset is shifting. And I want to also give you some information about homeopathic remedies dealing with fear and our fears and our memories and the impact at the cellular level of grief and loss. So this is an anniversary. An anniversary comes about every year, and there is an energetic quality to the planet's alignment, to the universe, that whether we can repair the earth, repair the world, repair those hurts and pains and sufferings that have occurred. And this is our chance to do it. And have you noticed what has happened in the world at this time, where we can repeat our mistakes, or we can make a change and do something a little bit different, have a little bit of talking, conversation, diplomacy, use other methods of love and caring and compassion instead of thinking of just attacking based on fear? And there are so many homeopathic remedies that have that animalistic instinct to retribution, to revenge, to scare, being so frightened that you have to fight back and tear at another person, or spit or yell or beat another person. And that is not necessarily the best response. So a commemoration of a specific date in history on which an event took place, in which these things happened in preceding years. People have good memories of anniversary dates, of wedding vows, entering the threshold of a new home, erecting a monument, inauguration of a ship going out into sea, and then also those sad occasions of loved ones passing. So therefore, anniversaries may be joyous or sad occasions depending upon the event that is remembered, honored, and celebrated. And they do, both joyous and sad occasions, cause stress in the life. So there are also many articles that you may be viewing on YouTube and elsewhere about the truth and the collapse of the Twin Towers. And when we're talking about truth and what we're being told by leaders and other scientists and researchers, we might have feelings of betrayal, and we have homeopathic remedies for that as well. We have homeopathic remedies for people who are unable to talk about things and unable to shed tears or cry. I have written a poem, which I will read for you today, Remembering 9/11. A collection of memories, speeches written, diaries tucked away, recorded voices, remembrances unforgotten, photographs shared, memories of long ago, telephone conversations retold, arguments unfold, analysis never ending, videos replayed, debates bear out pains maintained, independent broadcasts, vlogs, blogs, podcasts, look back blazing their trails like a comet that crossed the sky, never to return. Letters written and poems recited, choruses sing songs, original music, commemoration ends with bells ringing, remembering 9/11. And I wrote that in 2012 at last year's anniversary on this date. So we have all of those remembrances and all of those ways of providing our offering to make this day a holy day when we rethink actions that can be taken and when we mourn the lives of so many victims. It is a day of prayer, of lighting candles, of sending cards and making phone calls and saying a few words of comfort. Wherever you were on September 11th, I'm sure that it will remain a memory, an impression to you. And we can also think about those children who were born on this time and what the next generation of children who really don't have a memory, how will that impact them? And, of course, our entire nation will mourn. Now, let's see. We have about a half an hour left to the show, and I'll continue talking now about homeopathy and how homeopathy heals trauma, because this was not only an individual family trauma, it was a national and probably universal trauma. We have upwards of 30 to 50 homeopathic remedies that just are dealing with fear in children. So there's a lot to choose from and a good reason to speak to a professional homeopath in everything that you do related to homeopathy, especially when you're talking about chronic dysfunction and things that have untuned, mistuned your vital force. What kinds of stress do we have every day, and how are we able to cope? What mechanisms have we developed? Do we overcompensate for a lot of our things, which also could be stressful? The remedies deal with the mind, the body, the spirit, and recovering from pain. The first thing we might want to look at is shock. So do you feel like you still have not recovered? The literature that homeopaths utilize consists of the Materia Medica, which catalogs the medicines and drugs and all their effects, and clinically, and these are proven drugs. The Repertories, then, is another book that itemizes the symptoms in an organized fashion and lists the homeopathic remedies that have been used to heal these particular symptoms. Some are at a higher grade than others because they have been shown to work more repeatedly in more times than other times. Some people need a small remedy and other people need one that has been proven over and over again. And I'm learning about a new one, which I have not been listing. It's one of my garden plants. It's called a bedelia plant. It's a butterfly bush. And I'm learning that this one is really very effective with trauma, especially with veterans. For persons who harbor an expression of terror or delirium, three major remedies have been used. One is belladonna, the second is cuprum metallicum, and the third is stramonium. So two of them are plant remedies, and one of them is a metal remedy. And for someone who you observe that has an expression of fright, there's a list of 29 remedies about that can be found. Some of the other ones that are well used in situations of fright and extreme terror and extreme fear could be aconite. And I recommend that you go back and listen to this past Monday. We had the Health In Show with Joette Calabrese, homeopath in Buffalo, New York, who is a true expert in family medicine and helping parents. She has courses that will help parents take care of their children and bring them up with strong, healthy immune systems using nutrition and homeopathic remedies. And we talked extensively about the remedy aconite for initial fear. And you go back and look at that one. And there's another one, Baptisia, for great for flus, Cantharis for burns, Spongia is another good remedy, Stramonium, and Veratrum album. A lot of these are for extreme cases. You will find that a few remedies keep rising to the top because they cover many of the symptoms acquired after a trauma. Now, what if the person suppresses their fear and instead, when they sleep, the unconscious mind expresses their terror in dreams? For this, if one dreams of terrorists, which I can imagine could happen to many people working in the government, working at airports, working at high security locations, or concerned about attacks, since we're constantly hearing on the news media daily all about these events, then two remedies have recently, so these are new provings of remedies, are two minerals. One of them is called carbon dioxide, and that's something that plants provide, and ozone. Again, these seems like two environmental issues today, carbon dioxide and ozone. These are new provings of homeopathic remedies, and it seems that if you have this fear of terrorists and being attacked, they are showing as helpful for young children who have learning disabilities. And anybody can go on the internet, do some research, and study about them a little bit more. Again, if anybody has questions, you can always email us at homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com. If you have topics that you want us to be talking about, give us a call there too. So another way that the mind, body, and spirit responds to trauma can be reoccurring panic attacks that totally overpower the person's calm. This amount of fear can be tallied with the number of rubrics. And so that means that you are looking up in the repertory the number of rubrics that cover that particular problem. In my research, there are over 60 remedies that are listed specifically for panic attacks. Of those, once again, aconite rises to the top. So that's a good remedy to have on hand in your own personal emergency kit. Argentum nitricum is another one for folks who just are addicted to sweets and have lots of anticipation, speaking in public, flying airplanes. Argentum nitricum is a really great remedy. Bamboo, that is also a newly proven remedy for folks who have difficulty with their spine. And you can imagine what is it like when to be a bamboo plant and have all of those notches. They look like a spine, do they not? The way that they grow, and are they able to bend? Do they have flexibility in their back? So you can see it would be great for people who have back problems, spine problems. Another remedy is cannabis, which is really in the news a lot lately as healing people who are suffering from cancer. And so it's also good for panic attacks. Coffea. We know that a component there is caffeine, and these folks have trouble getting to sleep. They have problems with insomnia, and perhaps it's partially they're having like a panic attack. What's going to happen when they sleep? Will they ever be able to wake up again, or they just are agitated and restless? Another remedy for panic attacks, again, is that metal. Cuprum, copper. And we know that copper is really a preventative to many contagious diseases. And they're even integrating copper into some of those holistic creams and cleansers. Gelsemium is a well-known remedy, the jasmine plant, for, again, anticipation, fear, and panic, going to the dentist, going to the doctor, speaking in public, with lots of perhaps diarrhea and restlessness. When there's pandemics called by the World Health Organization, I myself have taken gelsemium because I didn't want to come down with influenza, and it calms you down so quickly. It's amazing. Another remedy there is graphite, the stuff that is another mineral for an identity crisis. It's another good remedy for this panic state of being. Bromide of potash is another one. Believe it or not, drugs like opium, which comes from an opiate plant, is great also for constipation, inveterate constipation, and feelings of numbness, or, you know, a place where you would expect a person to feel pain. They don't feel pain. So, and a person who has been drugged previously with codeine or other kinds of opiate drugs, that state of shock, initial shock. Stramonium, I have talked about in depth at the last show on Monday at Nissan Communications, the Health Inn, really great for terror, feeling like you're being attacked by a wild animal, really an attachment to light, needing light, or fear of light, needing a lot of comfort. Tarantula is a spider remedy, and feeling, you know, this is well known for loving to dance and being activated by music. And you can just think about teenagers in a highly rhythmic dance setting and how they're attracted to that. The last remedy I'm going to mention right near for panic attacks is Veratrum Album. Really a person who is constantly praying and prayerful, needing something that they just are totally sick, feeling pale, weak, and a lot of discharge through vomiting and nausea, connected to God. Those are just a few of the homeopathic remedies that are excellent for panic attacks and shock. You can see how the aconite, cuprum, stramonium, and veratrum album keep coming up in the repertory. Each remedy has a particular symptom picture that describes how the person reacts to stress. And I've covered quite a good deal of remedies right there today. There is a whole set of other remedies specifically for children in a state of fear. I have written a complete article about that. You can check it out on hubpages.com. And I'm not going to go through each and every one of those 29 remedies. When a person has experienced such a dramatic event, a Holocaust type of event, seeing somebody being violently attacked, and it's in, you know what? We're impressed by it every single day if you're watching the news and watching these videos. The other day, somebody sent me or uploaded a link to a video about terrorists, the Al-Qaeda, and it was an actual, not suicide, but it was a death squad that was shooting these captured individuals. I knew right away that it's not healthy for my brain, my mind, my visualization to actually watch it. And I specifically turned it off, knowing that it was not going to be healthy to my consciousness, my subconscious being. A person may continue to have this delusion that they will be attacked at any moment. And I want to thank, on that hub page, Roger Van Zandvoort for the illustrations for his computer programs that I have provided there. I want to thank him, and I want to especially thank him because I am a representative for the Complete Dynamics. I want to thank him for all of the years of work developing Complete Dynamics computer program. And if you are interested in getting this program, then please contact me at homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com, and I will give you information how to download a free trial of this program so you can look up in the repertory the different remedies for different situations. And if you are a professional in the healthcare arena and you want to actually purchase this so that you can have all of this information and analysis on your own desktop, I would highly recommend that. And I use it almost every day to do research, to study, because all of the Materia Medica are on that program. It's a very, very reasonable cost to get the license for that program. Our nation is built on pride and justice, and that is another issue that you might be looking at investigating for somebody who has been through this ordeal, this trauma. Innocence lost. When we have felt that this fright and terror, suddenly our nation and individuals feel vulnerable. We now have a weaker position in society. Don't we have we are feeling perhaps embarrassed about our leaders, vulnerable. We're looking at today Russia, the Russian leadership, Putin actually rising to the top in ways of healing our nations and stopping the threat of war, stopping the gassing and the chemical attacks. Through negotiations, through getting the United Nations and a supervising agency organization to oversee how to tone down these constant issues of fear. So fear of attack, again, is a response might be to hide or shrink away or to withdraw within ourselves. Instead of being bold and speaking up, there are people now, I must say, I feel really great that America is not apathetic concerning these issues. Americans are talking about it, clicking onto the petitions, calling their congressional leaders, their representatives in the Senate and the House, and I have done that myself. I have written my opinion that, you know, personally, I say, let's not bomb. Let's not go to war. What are your plan of action? What are the repercussions? What are the long-term effects? The same thing as vaccines. Do we really know what is going to be the long-term outcome? Of course, we look at this homeopathically individual as individuals. And so one of the repertory rubrics that I might be looking up is a delusion or your imagination is that you could feel that you're going to be attacked, that people are looking over your shoulder or following you. And here we have something like 25 remedies. One of the biggest ones that comes up is another spider remedy, I believe. But there are, and leasing, the one that was mentioned earlier by Dr. Chambreau for rabies, feeling attacked. And there are also plant remedies, feeling attacked, in the Anacardium family, Mandevilla and Rus Tox and the other Rus poison ivy and poison oak and radiation, tarantula, another spider remedy, and even Taya, the beautiful drink that we drink every day, tea, and other remedies that you feel attacked, like peregrine falcon. Wow, this is really incredible, is it not? What a resource we have in the homeopathic literature. And we're talking a lot about injustice, and that's why we might think of eagle or falcon as being birds that are quite regal. There are 76 remedies for persons who feel that they can no longer stand injustice in the world. And one of those remedies might be the one for you, but you need to see a professional to find out whether you're feeling shamed or feeling someone has offended you, feeling like you're accused and becoming defiant. All of these are effects from the political atmosphere that we have today. I hope this has been enlightening to you so far. We love feedback. We want to hear from you whether these shows have been helpful, whether you have a testimonial to give. I mean, yesterday, or what was it, on Monday with Joette Calabrese, I got a message from someone saying, you know, one of these remedies that you have mentioned is going to be really helpful for my child, and I'm going to give it a try and let's see what the outcome is. And that is awesome. The person is actually a homeopath, so she knows what she's doing. So please get recommendations and advice from your healthcare provider. What about the issue of protection? Protecting yourself, protecting others. A mother always wants to protect their children, whether you are in any of the animal kingdom. They fiercely protect their children. A father also wants to protect the family and provide their economic base, to know that they are a good provider, security, that they are not dependent upon welfare or the society to do what they feel is necessarily their job in life, to provide for their family. And what about the nation? Can they provide for their citizens? And this is a big problem today in many of the minorities in America. They have been stripped of their ability to provide financially, emotionally, mentally. What has happened to our society? And we have to bring that back. We have to take those trillions of dollars that go into the war machine and put them into the infrastructure of providing security at home at a really base level, at Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs of providing education, cultural enrichment, music therapy, community centers, basic nutritional needs. Let's build up the immune system this way. Playtime, relaxation time, family time. Our nation, we are the one country in the entire world that overworks. We don't get any time off. We don't get any downtime. We don't get time to de-stress. And we're learning that we need to put in a little bit of meditation, prayer, and Dr. Chambreau has really emphasized that we provide that and learn those techniques for healing our family. So this issue of security, defense, and protection is really high on our list. If a parent becomes overprotective, is that overcompensation? This might also stifle the growth of the child, of the family, for them to be able to fly and become independent when they, as they grow. They may become insecure because of this overprotective psychological atmosphere in the family. They might be more afraid than if they were given the opportunity and the chances to take some risks on their own, to test out new things and places. And I had a little discussion with Joette on Monday about that. Why are children so enamored and attracted to these terrorist movies, to these horror movies, where they're put in situations where they have to find a way out? I tell you what, I cannot watch those movies. They cause not good dreams in my situation. And she said, you know, it's a good question. Maybe they are processing this, their personal fears, through going to amusement parks like that and having to go up in scary places, or watching these horror movies. And that means that it's almost like a cry for help. They need somebody to help them work it out in a secure situation, a personal coach or therapy or a consultant who does that. Or there are so many people available today to help you out in those situations. Now, the three specific remedies that turn up for the delusion when a person feels that they have no defense or no shield of protection are these three remedies, and people might not know about them. One is the nosode carcinosin for persons who might have the miasm, the hereditary tendency to produce a cancer in them. They may not ever do it, but the carcinosin nosode is one of those for people who feel that they must be perfect. They must be perfect at home. They're the perfect child. They're the perfect student. They have to get a straight A, all hundreds. They have to be perfect at work. And they have that whole scenario for their own feeling of well-being, a feeling of security. The next remedy is peregrine falcon. Again, that's the flight remedy. The falcon itself is tied. It's trained to the human partner. And it seems like it's a new remedy, but it's coming up for the feeling that they have no shield or no self-defense. And the last remedy also is a brand new sea remedy, Stocactus Kentai. It's the sea anemone. And I would have to do some research about that remedy per se. Perhaps it's people who love to go to the ocean. But again, feeling very, very vulnerable. And you need to look closely at that remedy. Do they have a soft inside? Do they have an outer shell? Do they have spikes on the outside? And what is their form of camouflage? I'm going to check our time. We have about 7 minutes. And if there's anybody listening out there and has a comment, I welcome you. I know this is a long show. This is a two-hour show today. And you can always listen to the archive, download the archive, share it with your friends. The next thing is questioning who is the real enemy. A person may feel not just attacked, but it's as if they are being pursued. There is a homeopath called Morelli who provides 375 potential remedies under this theme alone, that they are being pursued. A smaller list when we look specifically at the rubric pursued, not just open-endedly, that theme, but pursued by an enemy, there's a smaller list that's condensed. And I imagine a number of perhaps government officials, war veterans, soldiers might have this feeling And that is part of their PTSD, their post-traumatic stress syndrome. It might come up fairly frequently that they are being pursued by an enemy. They might even feel that everyone is the enemy. And in this case, you would be looking up something called paranoia. I'm just moving quite rapidly along with this information and homeopathy and the different kinds of rubrics or themes that you can be looking at that comes up. And remember, when a homeopath takes the case of an individual who is searching for help from their emotional fears, it concerns their nightmares, their delusions, their overcompensations, whatever it is, these are just general themes. And it's important to realize that when the homeopath takes the case, they never have a leading question. They don't say, are you paranoid? They don't say, are you feeling afraid of being pursued? They will sit quietly and be the blank slate or the what the client is going to bounce their thoughts off of. So we will reflect back to them exactly how they feel, think, and speak about their issues. So it is not something that you just go up to somebody and say, are you feeling attacked? Or do you feel like there's an enemy there? Or do you feel unprotected or vulnerable? No, it's not done that way. In an authentic consultation, the homeopath is simply the listener, the observer, the witness, and documenting the energy and essence of that individual. And then they go to the repertory and the materia medica to find out the closest match, which is called the similima. The next thing, and we saw this really greatly when there was the Haiti earthquake, and there was a lot of prayerful singing going on, a lot of communities and churches coming together and asking and pleading and praying to God for His compassion, for His grace, for His understanding to be connected to God and for Him to take over and help them through this great trauma. So what this comes to is something that we might see is to the extreme of religious affection and getting desire to get close to God or feeling like they had been forsaken by God, because why would such a thing happen to them on a grand scale, whether it is an attack in war or a natural disaster? So they desire, desiring to understand more about the universe when all things seem chaotic and out of control. And this is something that obviously cancer patients too feel, that everything is out of control. It is the idea and theme of cancer not having its specific role and feeling out of control, and it grows out of control. And so also this situation with a religious affection, things are in chaos and out of control. You can imagine when that happens, people do turn to God and search for answers on how to heal. For these responses of individuals and communities of intense trauma, and that is 9/11, September 9/11, crashes and bombings and frightful images of fire and ash and people jumping out of windows and being stuck in stairwells, wells. I mean, you can see how the desire for salvation is so great and a tremendous amount of panic and anxiety. There are remedies for religious affections. And wow, the time really flew by. We're out of time today. And I will probably continue the same theme tomorrow. The 1 o'clock show with Alan Phillips and myself at 2:30, from 2:30 to 3 tomorrow, I will finish up this talk about commemorating 9/11 and different kinds of responses that we will have and remedies that are accompanying these kinds of themes. I do hope this has been helpful for you, and I'm going to exit today with some music. And please share, tweet, Facebook, tell folks that we have these great educational programs absolutely free for you to listen to and learn from. Have a blessed day. Lots of prayers today. Lots of love out there into the airwaves.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brock and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!